If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, welcome back to Private Education, the Smart Sex and Relationships podcast. I should slow down. My name is Aisling Keenan, and I didn't even have to write that in my notes this week because I know my name. My guest today, you'll all be delighted to hear, is a returning guest, Orla McConnon. Welcome back.
Thanks for having
me. Orla McConnon, take two. What did we talk about in your first episode?
Getting back with your ex.
Long distance. I remember. That was a good one. That was a juicy one. Today we're going to talk about breaking up, but not as you might think about breaking up. We're talking about breaking up with friends. It is juicy. And okay, it's a bit of a departure because, okay, it's obviously not about sex technically, but it is about relationships. And Orla is my first in a series of guests that we're going to talk about friendships, because I don't know about you, like, but friendships play a massive role in my life.
Yeah.
Is it the same in your life?
Oh, like, my God. Totally.
I mean, we both have other halves in terms of romantic relationships.
Yeah.
But my friendships are a huge part of my life and always have been.
I don't know what I would do without my friends.
No.
Like, we have a really big group as well. And then I have, like, little subgroups of, like, you know,
I love
my Etihad girls and my, you know, from.
Like, when I say to my husband I'm going out with the girls, he's like, yeah, cool, which ones though?
Yeah.
Because there's college and then there's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think, like, friendships are as important relationships as romantic ones. And I don't think, you know when you, okay, you know if you're, like, at work, whatever, and you have a breakup, you go through a breakup, and you come in and you're crying, and your boss or your colleagues are sympathetic, and they're saying, oh, well, she's, you know, she's going through a breakup. Like, why do you think no one gives the same seriousness to friendship breakups?
Yeah, they really don't.
Like, because they're hard.
Yeah, there's no mourning period when you break up with a friend. I think it's because, as well, I suppose people just imagine that it's not an emotional thing, that it's like a pure anger thing if you stop being friends with someone.
Yeah.
That it's normally because of a fight or something.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's actual relationships, like a boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, you know, there's an upset, there's more emotion at the start or so. I don't know.
I mean, like, I do understand the difference between a romantic relationship and a friendship. I understand that, like, your romantic relationship, there's potential for, you know, moving in together, maybe getting married, maybe starting a family, maybe getting a pet together. You know, there is more of a lost future, I suppose, for a romantic relationship sometimes than a friendship. But at the same time, like, friendships, I mean, for me anyway, I have friendships that span far longer than any romantic relationship I've ever had. And so I know if I was to break up, I suppose, with a friend for whatever reason, like, I think you deserve a mourning period.
Yeah. Yeah, a mourning party. Funeral.
Or it's like, yeah, cool, but how can we make Prosecco?
Like, looking literally into the distance, a party, you say.
That has actually happened. I was looking at Orla, I was like, trying to get her to chat with me, and she's like, gazing into the distance, thinking about alcohol. You're like, how can I weave drink into this equation?
Literally. That's literally what you were doing.
So, yeah, look. If you need an excuse for a party, what Orla's saying is just dump one of your mates.
Something has come to me though, right?
Right, okay.
I think, as well, when it's a boyfriend, pretty much everyone is going to experience a breakup, but not everyone is going to experience a breakup with a friend or just a parting of friendship, right? Yeah. But when you do, a lot of the times you're the only one in the situation. So your friends don't want to talk about it because they're probably still friends with the other person.
Yeah, true.
So no one really wants to get involved. Whereas if it's your boyfriend, they're like, yeah, he's a fucking dickhead, you know?
And yeah, and he's out of the, yeah.
You know?
I suppose. But I mean, what I was thinking was like, you know, I mean, sometimes you get into friendships and you get into them earlier in your life or whatever, like in school or whatever, and you're in them out of habit almost.
Absolutely.
Like there's so many friendships that I see happening around me that, not that they shouldn't be happening, but as in people are only friends because there's longevity there.
Yeah. They're not actually best mates anymore. Yeah. Yeah.
And like they don't have anything in common or their lives have gone in completely different directions. And I feel as though if that happened in your romantic relationship, you'd be quicker to...
Totally.
To call time on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be like, this is dead.
Yeah.
But I think things are just seen so differently when it's friendship.
Yeah.
Like it's a bit more cutthroat when it's friendship because, you know, you're not probably seeing the person every day.
Yeah.
So it's not really affecting you that much for you to be like, bye.
Yeah.
You know?
But like, I mean, if you were having problems in your relationship, like, I mean, there's been times where I've had to, you know, I've been having issues in a friendship and I've had to go, okay, I'm going to have to address this. But if you were having issues in your romantic relationship, the first thing you'd do is be like, okay, this is actually making me unhappy. So like, why do you think we don't do the same thing with friendships?
Because when it's a partner, you only normally have one at a time.
Yeah.
And when it's friends, maybe you're more likely to be like, oh, well, I have other people at the moment and I don't, maybe in the back of your mind you're like, I'm not reliant on solely you
I'm
not that bothered to fix this.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's such a weird one,
isn't it? Weird because like, I mean, have you,
everyone
goes through it, like and I mean it's one of those things where, and when we say break up, like, I mean, everyone, I'd say everyone listening, if I was to put a poll up, which I will because I love a poll, and at Private Education Podcast on Instagram, if I was to put a poll up, I'd say like 100% of people have had a friendship end.
Yeah.
Whether that was that it just fizzled out or that it was an actual active, I don't think we can be friends anymore thing. Have you ever had, like, because I know I've had friendships end and I'll talk about them. Have you had a friendship breakup that either fizzled or was an actual decision between two people?
Yeah, but I don't really know if it was a decision. It was, well, like, I've had it where, like, best friends have gotten boyfriends and then next thing you're not really on the scene anymore. But then it's literally like, oh, I haven't seen you in a year. And you know, you're always threatening to meet for coffee.
Yeah.
But like, you know, you both know it's never going to happen. And then I've had it in a different way where it's kind of been a fight and then that's it. But like, it's devastating.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you don't want it to happen. Mm. But you also have to think, well, you know, there has to be two people trying to stay friends here.
I completely agree.
And if it's just me, well, then fuck it. Because
that's so true.
You clearly don't want to be friends with me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm not wasting my time. Yeah. I'm not going to prolong this so that in 6 months' time I'm still going to be sad over it.
Yeah.
You just have to cut ties
That's a really good point, actually. The whole thing about like to compare it to a romantic relationship again, if you were in a relationship where you didn't feel like the love was 50-50, wouldn't you, like, I'd be like, well, I'm giving way more to this than I'm getting. And it's the exact same in friendships. Like, I in the past have experienced it where, you know, a friendship, and I don't mean that a friendship should always be exactly 50-50. I know there's times when one person will be, you know, busy or going through something and they won't be able to give, you know, that much effort or attention, or they won't be on to you to meet up or whatever. But it does eventually balance out, and it should eventually balance out, and you should feel, you know, in most friendships like you are, you know, given as much as you're getting and getting as much as you're given. But there's been times for me where, you know, you'll message someone who is a really good friend of yours and you'll say, oh, like, come over to my house and we'll have dinner, or I'll cook you dinner or whatever. And they say, oh, yeah, 100%, definitely, definitely. And then you don't hear from them.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 months later, you go, we never did that dinner. Like, you should definitely... And then again, they're like, yeah, totally. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've been up the walls. And then 2 months later... Yeah.
You're just chasing the
and
tail.
You're literally chasing someone
yeah.
for a relationship. And if... sometimes I do think, if that was a guy, you'd be like, well, he can go fuck himself, because if he's not interested...
I was going to say, yeah, but I probably wouldn't.
No, but do you know what I mean?
Pride is a fickle thing.
But you know, like, okay, maybe you wouldn't tell him to go fuck himself, but like, I just think it's in those situations where you're like, and it's in those situations where I've had to be like, okay, I'm going to take a step back here, mm-hmm. because I won't allow myself to, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I also feel though that I am a total flake.
Okay, tell me more.
Which I'm sure is surprising. You
wouldn't
think
that. I'm shocked. I have to tell you, I'm shocked to my core. No, I actually am. No, in fairness, I mean, I know it, like with your work and stuff, things are difficult because of timing. You don't have like a Monday to Friday 9 to 5 role, so
I'd
you know,
be
it's tricky
very
for you.
Like, oh, geez, your ex, just stay in bed, hon.
Yeah,
or you know, and then I would just. You know, or I'd have a glass of wine and I'd be like, oh, I'm going to just continue doing this now instead.
I'll just stay here.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think I can also be like the one that would cancel a lot.
Okay.
So sometimes I feel bad in friend situations.
Okay.
Because I feel like I can't really say anything.
Yeah.
Because
that's interesting.
I'm a dope too sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in like, well, who am I to say this? Because like I just did this 2 weeks ago to another person or to, you know?
Yeah. But maybe in that situation then, your friendships are balanced in the sense that your friends don't expect you to show up at every single thing.
Yeah.
But then you also don't expect them to show up at every single thing. So I think the problem arises when, say, someone like me, who is obviously insanely control freakish about her diary, says, yes, I will meet you on the 21st of April, 2021. See you there.
Yeah.
And then we get there and I'm sitting there and the friend doesn't show up. And I'm like, oh. Oh,
great.
You know,
and like, I do think I've gotten better in that my days off are very much like, you know, I only have these 2 days and they could be midweek. So like if I'm saying I'm going to meet you, I will, you know.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
But every so often, and I still feel like I can't take back what I did like 5 years ago. I think in the back of people's head, they'd be like,
so you've
I remember
got
that time
record.
You went to the Bailey and you were
getting cancelled on me. Okay.
Yeah.
So like in terms of like, you know, friendship breakups, has there ever been one that affected you as much as a relationship breakup? Or not, maybe not as much as, but you know.
Yeah, kind of. Like,
I know I've had, they weren't dramatic breakups. Well, maybe one of them was kind of dramatic. So I'll tell you a little tale.
Go on. I'm all ears.
Orla only has a non-alcoholic beverage, so I don't feel like this is as good as your podcast. Orla, actually, by the way, just an interjection before I start my story. Orla, we'll talk about this at the end, but Orla has recently launched her own podcast, Adulting with Friends, which is deadly. And
thanks.
I'm going to be on as guest soon.
Yeah.
Which I'm buzzed about,
so
because
excited.
I love all the questions that you ask your guests. They're really cool. And so if you haven't listened or if you haven't subscribed or whatever, go
do
on
it.
There. Do I was trying to be gentle, but no.
Nah.
Anyway, what I was saying about the friendship that I had that kind of ended, it's happened to me a couple of times in my life, I'll admit. And it was never, like, this probably happened, I think I was maybe 28 when this happened. And it was actually, the friendship was on its way out for a while. And we've mm-hmm. known each other since we were like 12, and the friendship was on its way out in the sense that nothing particularly bad had happened, but her life circumstances changed,
mm-hmm.
my life circumstances changed, we were both going in very different directions, and just, you know, there was no bad blood necessarily, but it just got to the point where it basically, what happened was I was having a birthday party. And I had my former friend, it sounds real harsh, but it's true.
Yeah.
Had a small child. And I was like, look, no pressure. I'm having this party. If you want to come, totally can. Here are the mm-hmm. details. Gave the details. Grand. And then on the day, I didn't follow up with her to say, are you coming later? Because I didn't want to put pressure, because the child, you know, I just didn't want to. Anyway, that was misconstrued as...
You didn't give a
that
shit.
That I didn't care. Yeah. No, and of course I did, but I just didn't want to put pressure. And I you know. So anyway, I was at my party on my birthday, and I got a text being like, well, you obviously enjoy your night with your real friends or something like that, right?
No, I don't agree with this, but continue.
Okay. So I'll tell you the rest of the tale, and then you can, we can,
I'm just going to make a few notes.
Orla's making notes, my nerves. So basically got that text and saying something like, enjoy your night with your real friends or something. And I was really, really upset because it was the night of my birthday.
Yeah.
And also if there's one thing that upsets me, like I wouldn't be much of a crier, and but if there's one thing that upsets me, it's like injustice. And so I felt because my action had been misconstrued. Mm-hmm. I felt so wronged. Do you know what I mean?
Like it wasn't fair.
It wasn't fair. Like I literally was like, that is not what I meant. I didn't mean to make you feel like you weren't welcome to this thing or whatever. So I felt, I was like, oh my God, I wish I could explain. And I wrote back and I was like, that's not what it was at all. Like, you know, of course I wanted you here. Why wouldn't I? And that was 100% the case. Like, do you know? And even though over the years our friendship hadn't been as solid and as frequent, you know, as it had been in previous years, I still loved her. Like in actual fact, I'll be completely honest, I saw her as almost like a family member. It was almost like, you know, did you ever get like so close to a friend that they just feel like they're inevitable.
Just a constant.
Yeah, they just feel like they'll always be there. Yeah. And I don't mean that they'll always be there in a neglectful way. I just mean that you just can't picture your life without them.
Yeah.
So I got that message and I responded and I was like, no, that's not what it was at all. And I tried to explain. And then, you know, there was like 20 people there at my party and I was off, you know, entertaining and trying to have the crack and trying to make the best of it. And the next day I discovered I had been blocked on...
What?
Yeah, on Facebook, unfollowed on Instagram. You know, there was no form of contact I could have made apart from text. And at that stage I was so hurt by all the blockings
that why should you go crawling back when you didn't do anything. Yeah,
exactly. And now I'm from her perspective, I did do something, you know, and I do understand that, and I understand that side of things, but from my perspective I didn't. And I actually think there was a bit of a turning point for me when I was around 28 29, that just went, I don't have time to play these games. I don't have time to have a long-standing friend block me on Instagram or, you know, unfriend me on Facebook. And, you know, I just, I was just like, I actually haven't got the headspace for this at the moment. And so I let it go and I didn't add her again. Mm-hmm. I didn't ring her. I didn't text
and that
her.
It. Have you never
and
spoken
I haven't
to spoken
her to her since. And that's nearly 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I honestly I miss her. I missed her when I was getting married. Mm-hmm. I missed her at my wedding. I missed her. Like, I do miss
and
the
did
friendship.
Did you consider, could I invite her to the wedding, or would it be weird, or would it be odd? Like, was
So I got married when I was nearly 30. So it was 2 years almost since the kind of breakup, if you like, that I got married. And I did consider it, but I just was like, she's not going to go. Mm-hmm. She obviously doesn't want my friendship because she blocked me. Mm-hmm. You know, if there was any chance of reconciliation there, it probably would have happened by now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe I just didn't want to make a show of myself by being the person to put the olive branch out just to have it rejected.
And I think if it was me, I'd be thinking on the day, like if I did send the invite, even if they said no, I think on the day I'd be like, maybe they're going to show.
Yeah.
And it would kind of be in the back of my head as well a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it's poor form to text that, because she was clearly waiting for a text. So she clearly had remembered it was your birthday and the party was that night and could have done something about it. It's almost as if she wanted what happened to happen in a way, because
that's
she kinda, was expecting it.
Yeah.
And so it was like she didn't want to do anything else because her point was proven then by having to text you. But it's weird, because that's something that could totally be,
it was totally avoidable, I think. And also
sad,
I think it was avoidable. Like, I tried to explain.
Yeah.
And I think, do you know, not to be completely like, I am so innocent in this. Like, I wasn't, as in, I did say, you know, the friendship hadn't been, we hadn't seen each other regularly.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, things had gone from weekly, if not daily contact down to hardly any contact, really. Yeah. And it, but I still cared about her a lot.
Yeah, there was no malice in it or anything. It was just...
There was none. And like, you know, there is now, as in not there's malice now, but there's
beef now.
Yeah, we've got beef. No, but like, I wouldn't, if, you know, if I saw her, I know I haven't seen her, which is mad. But if I did see her, I'd be like, I would actually be really upset. I think I'd probably cry if I saw her. I really do.
Yeah, do you know? I know. Like, I had...
And this is what I mean about them being as bad as romantic breakups. Like, I actually miss her. She remains one of the funniest people on the planet. Like, you know, all of the good stuff that I remember, I'd love to still have that in my life. Like, do you know?
Yeah. I had broken up with someone in... Well, like a couple of years ago now. Mm. And
this is a friendship breakup?
A guy. Okay. And then, like, literally only a couple of months later...
Yeah.
Kind of stopped speaking... to my friend.
Right.
That not speaking to her was a million times worse than breaking up with him.
Right.
Like 100%.
Okay.
Like I don't think I actually cried once when we broke up
with the guy.
What a waste of a year. Yeah. I didn't even shed a tear. But with her, I was, she was like my best friend.
And was that a big fight style breakup, or was it just like...
I mean, it was a bit layered, but it was kind of not through, like, it was kind of more of a group thing, and I suppose I didn't take her side in the situation.
Okay.
And then we just kind of stopped talking.
Okay.
But, like, we've started talking since, but, like, you know, it's...
And how
never
is that?
Gonna be the same. Like, it is nice, and, like, we've met up a few times and stuff. Like, I do really, really miss her.
Yeah.
And, like... Nearly every day I would think of jokes that I'd be like, oh, she'd be the only person that would know that, get that.
Yeah.
And I could message her whenever.
Yeah.
But it's just not really the same. And I think once someone, like, I have a big group of friends, there's like 11 of us. And I think once one person isn't in that group, they feel very uncomfortable even coming back in, even just... To one person, because I suppose you maybe would question what's going to go back to the rest of the group.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't really want to be hearing from other people like, oh, you know, this is making me uncomfortable. It's just a shit situation to be in.
Yeah. But isn't it so, like, the... When I'm thinking about that there, and again, that's not the only friendship of mine that has ended. Mm. There have been a few, you know, but that one is kind of the one that hurt most.
Because you were older. When you're younger and you've friends and you grow apart, even if you have fights, you're younger, and they're probably not friends that you've made this huge connection and history with.
And I feel as well, like, you know, when you're older and you have that kind of friendship breakup, there's, like, for me anyway, I feel like now I'm kind of self-aware enough, I suppose, to be able to address an issue in a friendship head on.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very forthright. Like, if something is happening and I'm not, you know, I'm not happy about it, or if it's not suiting me or whatever, I'll say it because I want a resolution.
Yeah.
But at the time, it didn't even seem like a resolution was what was wanted. Like you said, you know, I didn't feel like there was any interest in resolving it. I felt like it was just, you know, you go on now.
Yeah.
And I'll stay here.
And I would have been very much like avoiding confrontation at all costs.
Okay.
I still kind of would, really, to be honest. Okay. This year I've gotten a bit more.
Yeah.
No, you can do it. Stand up for yourself.
How old are you? But you don't mind me asking.
30.
Right. So give it another couple of years. You'll be headlong into confrontation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just get to the point.
I'll be trolling you. Yeah.
But seriously, you get to the point where you're like, I actually don't have, I'm a grown adult,
I've
don't have time for this.
I've gotten there. Like, I have to say, like, my friendship with Paddy is one of the best friendships ever.
Okay. This is Paddy Smith.
Paddy Smith.
Yeah.
Because...
Who just won the Circle, as an aside. That's where you might know him from.
I could at any moment of the day tell him he's being an absolute geebag and he would do the exact same thing to me.
Fantastic.
Like he would at any moment say, okay, rein it in.
Catch yourself on there.
Yeah, cop on.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And like none, like we would never be annoyed at each other.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, we might be annoyed for like 5 minutes and,
then be like,
whatever, oh, okay. Yeah. And then everything's fine again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a very...
That's pure.
Yeah, we can just... say anything and it's fine, you know. So I've never ever had to be like, oh, he's doing this to me and I don't know, because I've just said it straight away the minute like I'd catch it, and he'd be the exact same to me.
Yeah,
and it's lovely.
Yeah, that's really refreshing.
Where there's other friendships that I wouldn't have that, but that's because I probably knew them from when I was 16 and that wasn't me at 16. So now it feels weird to be that way.
Oh my god,
because that's me
that
now.
So
but they
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is actually something that I really feel very strongly in terms of friendships, as in when you're moving through your life, like I actually feel like a completely different person than I was when I was 16. Needless to say, I think probably everybody does.
Yeah.
But I actually kind of feel like in terms of like my friendships, when I was in school, I was quite shy.
Really?
Yeah. I actually was. Like I was, I would have been quiet. Yeah, I would have been like the shyer of the my friendship group, the Shire one. And then something happened. I think I was in a play when I was in transition year and I kind of was like, oh, I actually don't mind not being shy, you know. And I had a part, like, and I had to say lines and I was on the stage and I realized that actually maybe I'm not that shy after all, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I went about my career and went into university and all that kind of stuff, I realized that no, I'm not shy at all. I love, you know, I love being the center of attention. No, but not even that I love it, but I don't mind speaking in front of people. I don't mind going on a radio show. I don't mind going on Instagram and putting my face in, you know, whatever. And I feel like that change affected, because, you know, if it affects your friendships.
Yeah, because people are like, who is she? That's not, that's exactly. not that thing we know.
Exactly. Did that happen to you?
Like,
are you exactly the same as you were when you were 16?
I suppose... I'm probably kind of the same.
Because I had a big, I think I had a big change.
Like I wouldn't have been shy.
Okay.
I was way more confident when I was younger.
Really?
Oh, way more. I would give anything to be as confident as I was back then. Anything.
And you think I was the opposite.
Yeah,
like.
No, I just was. I think actually when I went to Etihad, I just plummeted in confidence. It ruined me. Yeah.
In what way?
I don't know. I just came back and I don't know. I was just totally different. Like I used to do like job interviews all the time. I'd be like buzzing for them. I'd be like, yeah, my time to shine.
Let's talk about me.
And I remember coming home and like I did my Space NK interview actually, which I ended up getting, but I came home and I just burst into tears to my mum and I was like, I'm a totally different person and I don't know what's happened to me. And she was like, what? And I was like, I just, Jesus. Yeah. It was as if someone had just gotten a hammer and absolutely knocked me out of it. Yeah. Yeah. Took me a while to kind of build it back. I don't know why. It was really weird. Yeah. It was very strange.
Did that have an impact on any of your friendships? Did people notice? Were people like, what the hell's wrong with
Laura? I mean, if I think about it, around that time is when I came home, is when I kind of stopped being friends with like that friend that I was talking about. But no, I don't think so, because I think I was always very good at just pretending that I was grand.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, go out for a few pints, I'd be grand. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's as in it was like more social things that got me kind of.
Yeah. And where do you weird. Stand on, where do you stand on friendships that have outgrown each other, like where you've outgrown each other but you've got such a strong history that you kind of just cling on? Do you know the kind of friendship where because like there's been times where I've been like, well, I've been friends with this person for a really really long time but we don't actually have anything in common, our lives don't intertwine at all.
Yeah.
Is this worth keeping or is it, do you know what I mean?
I mean,
cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
At the same time, it would be... I don't know. It's a tough one because it's a shame to just let all of that go.
Yeah.
But it depends on how close you were to begin with.
Yeah.
As in, you know, was it always daily contact and was it always...
Yeah.
The way it is with other friends.
Yeah.
Or are you just now comparing it to friendships that you now have?
Yeah.
Maybe it was always a weaker friendship and you just didn't really notice
yeah.
until you got friends with someone else and realized there was a
better connection,
better bond or yeah. whatever.
Yeah.
But like,
and where do you stand on like getting into new friendships in adulthood?
Oh, as it's in, so hard.
I think it's hard too, but I also think it can be really way more rewarding in a way.
Yeah.
Like, because you know who you are. And then if you do manage to form a friendship in, I was about to say later life. Neither of us are in later life. I think it's safe enough to say. But I think, you know, if you do get into a friendship when you're in your late 20s, early 30s, if you can manage it, if you can hack yeah. in, it can almost be a stronger bond than one yeah. from your younger life.
Well, like my friends from, say, Etihad, I met them when I was 22,
okay,
which is still very young. But like at 22, a lot of my friends had left college at that point,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're some of my best friends. And I yeah. can't imagine what my life would have been without them. Like I can't imagine not being friends with them now.
Yeah.
So it's weird to think that in like 5 years, I might have a friend that I can't live without and I don't even know they exist right now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
crazy.
That kind of blows my mind because I had made really, really good friendships about 4 or 5 years ago. And it was a case of, you know, I met them and we were all adults. I'm not rocking into like primary schools and being like, hey, be yeah. my friend. We were, you know, we were all grown up doing our own thing, living our own lives, completely different lives, mind you. And all became really good friends. And now, I mean, they were at my wedding, you know, like my life would be totally different without them. It would be a really yeah. different thing. But I mean, I still find, like, as in their friendship with me has been relatively short term, but I feel like they're as good a friend to me as
friends that you've had for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
have those kind of later in life friendships?
Yeah, totally. like some of my best friends live in Scotland.
Right.
And they're from Etihad. I never see them.
Yeah.
I barely get to talk to them.
Yeah.
And then when I see them, it's like
best
never, ever left their side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it just, I mean, it's funny though, because I didn't really go over thinking that I wanted to make friends. Mm. And I remember when I started in Cláis na Dúlaig, that's where I met Paddy. And I remember on my first day talking to a girl there and I was like, well, I'm not here to make friends.
Okay, whoa.
And she was like in my mind, I was like, I'm 19. I'm over it. I have my friends. I'm done.
Isn't that so funny? Like the naivety honestly. Of you.
And also, I had been in college the year before and yeah. I was like, I made friends there. I'm not friends with them now. Waste of time. Right? So I was like to her, I'm not here to make friends. And she was like, same. So the two of us were like, great. Let's hate everyone together. Ended up being like such good
best
friends.
Mate.
Then
yeah,
we
yeah,
met
yeah.
Paddy. We were a little trio.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
did everything together.
Yeah.
And then 10 years later, I'm still like best friends with Paddy.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
just
yeah.
so funny yeah, how yeah. you're like, oh, I'm so mature. Yeah, I don't need anyone.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I think that's like, there are a lot of people that I know that are like that, that are like, no, I don't need any more friends. I'm fine now.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of closed minded in a way, I think, because your friendships change over the course of years and people, you know, like now I'm at a stage now where a rake of my friends are having babies and I don't have a child, but so their lives are changing to according to their new
yeah.
setup with their babies. And, you know, and I was never a mad, I don't drink, but I was never like a going out every single night of the weekend sort of person. But I've gotten even more hermit-like now. And so, you know, there's friends of mine who are still on the kind of going out buzz, and then there's friends of mine who have babies, and I'm somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
But like, for me to just be like, no thanks, I don't need any more mates. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. Like, why would you do that? Why would you close yourself off meeting potentially amazing people?
Unless you just don't have the time, I suppose. But like, I think sometimes I think you just kind of say that as a barrier just in case you fail at it. Mm. And so, you know, chose to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But like, I have to say, I'm so lucky I have the group of friends that I have and like the set of friends that I have.
Yeah.
Because like with my job, it's very hard to make friends. Mm. Because you work with different people every single day.
Yeah, true.
You might not see someone for honestly a year. Like I could fly with someone and I'd be like, oh, so how was this and how was that? And then yeah, they're like, that was a year ago. Like, yeah, you freak. How did you remember? I'm like,
like, I've been stalking you.
So. And also, you know, I'm in Castleknock. Most of them are in Swords. Mm. You know, even though it's really not that far away, but, but if you want to go for drinks or whatever, you know,
it's not
they
exactly
normally
convenient.
Are going to stay out in Swords and Malahide. That's totally. €50 for me to get a taxi home.
Yeah,
I don't love you that much. Like, can't be doing that. So it is hard to make friends. So even like just as an adult in general, how do you make friends? Apps. There's that Bumble Friends app, but I think that's a very American thing.
I couldn't. Now look, I don't think I'd make friends on an app. I like,
although social media.
Well, yeah,
but it's that's okay, different because you're not actually going out
looking for your mate. Yeah, you're not being like, "Hi, I'm Aisling. I'm 31. I like ketchup and Heinz beans, and I would like a friend who is also interested in, you know, like you don't do that like when you're on Instagram." Now, I have got internet. There's definitely been internet friendships that have developed, but like, I don't know, making friends as an adult is hard.
Mm-hmm. But you're not in situations either where.
And have you ever forced a friendship on someone? I know I've been very much like, oh my God, I love this person. This person is amazing. Hello, let's be friends. Hey, do you want to come over to my house? Hey, do you want to see me? You know what I mean? I like.
Yeah, I probably have. Yeah, because like I said before, I've absolutely zero shame in anything. So right. I would be like,
hello. Hello, let's be friends.
Yeah. I suppose I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, but like I had to start somewhere with the girls in Etihad. Like they didn't live with me, the ones that I'm friends with.
Right,
so
okay.
I must have knocked you up a couple of times being like,
I remember a friend of mine, and I don't think she'll mind me telling this story. She's been my friend for 13 years now, so we're solid as a rock. She, on the first day of college, I went to DCU, and on the first day of college, I sat next to a really good friend of mine, she's now a really good friend of mine, and we sat next to each other and got chatting, and between the jigs and the reels, we hilariously discovered she's from Athlone and I'm from Dublin, right? And we met completely randomly on the first day of college, happened to be doing the same course, happened to sit next to each other, and we discovered that our grandmothers were best friends.
What?
Yeah. So what happened was, she said to me, I was like, I had a car, and I said to her, I was like, look, do you want me to give you a lift home? Where are you living while you're in Dublin?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'm living down on, you know, we'll call it, what avenue? Orla Avenue.
Right.
She lives down on Orla Avenue. And I said, but my nana lives on Orla Avenue. And she's like, no, I'm staying with my nana. She lives on Orla Avenue. And I was like, no, my nana is from
There's only one house on Orla Avenue.
And there isn't. There are many. And now my grandmother has passed away she's passed away years ago, but I was like, my nana is from Orla Avenue. What is your nana also from there? And she was like, yeah. And I dropped her home and I was like, my nana. So anyway, we got chatting to our respective family members and discovered that our grandmothers had been mates and had gone on holidays together.
What?
And all sorts of stuff, and this was a completely chance meeting in college.
That is mental.
So I think we were destined to be friends. Anyway, aside from that, we met and we we're going for lunch. We went over to the spa on campus, and this other girl, our other friend Susie, came over and was like, joined the deli queue behind me and was like, hey, what are you getting for your lunch? And I was like, we'd never met.
Love her.
And I was like, I'm getting a tuna and sweet corn roll. And she was like, cool, I'm in your course. I'll have tuna and sweet corn too. And I was like, cool, you work away, get your roll.
Yeah.
So we went up to the till and she goes, I don't even like tuna in sweet corn.
That could have gone two ways.
Oh my God. She's like, I don't even like tuna in sweet corn. And then she just never left. No, I mean that in the, I love her. I love her. She is part of my soul. But like, she literally just was like, hiya, let's be friends via these rolls at the deli. And then that was it. She was,
amazing.
I hadn't a choice in the matter. We were being mates.
Yeah.
And now she's like my sister. And it was just so funny how it happened, because she was very much like, I'm going to insert myself into this investigation one way or the other. We're going to be friends. And we still are. She was my bridesmaid.
Was she? Yeah. Oh my God. But it's so funny how you can just have this like intuition that you're like, I know.
Oh my God.
I love that person.
Yeah.
Actually, it did happen to me on a flight recently where I was like, I really like this person. They are just, I'm really just loving you,
into you so much.
And then at the very end of the flight, it turned out that like his best friend is my best friend's friend.
Okay.
And they worked together. And we were like, oh my God. And yeah, it was like this whole like,
when you just get a vibe off someone.
I like you. And then it's confirmed then when you know there's a mutual friend. Yeah.
But like, it's mad the way you're just drawn to certain people. Mm-hmm. Because it was what, like 40 something people in my class.
Yeah.
And I was gravitating towards.
But how many were at the deli counter?
Just me and Susie. But there was very few that I was drawn to, and I was drawn to these particular girls. And then, like, I mean, we're still friends now. I couldn't live without them. And I always say it, but like our WhatsApp group that we have from my college girls WhatsApp group, there's five of us in it. 1, 2, 3, yeah, five. Yeah. And I always say that it is the funniest. Like they're just my people. Like I could put anything in there. I could put the most random a link to something and they'll be like, I totally get it. Do you know what I mean? They're just unagi. Yeah. They like literally are unagi.
Yeah.
It's not something you are, it's something you have. they just get it. And I think friendships like that are just so needed.
Yeah.
Do you know? And I think like, oh God, I don't want to even think about if those friendships ended. I couldn't.
Yeah. Do you know what though? Sometimes I think you just have to think to yourself, well, maybe for me, I'm sad, but maybe the other person is happy that they're not friends with me. Like maybe it was a toxic thing. And at the time,
maybe you just don't know you're being an LD bag.
Yeah. And maybe at the time that's just what you needed. And you never know when it's going to rekindle or, you know.
That's true. Yeah. Like, because in fairness, the friendship that I was speaking about earlier on that ended, I never spoke to her and said what was your problem. I don't want to be confrontational, but like but what was the problem, like I never went to her and said what happened there, why did you feel strongly enough about this that you blocked me on stuff. And you know, I mean that in a genuine way. I'm not being like accusatory. I mean, I would love to know how I was treating you that made you feel so bad that you did that. Or you know, how could I have maybe been a better friend? Or how could I have, you know, what could I have done for this not to have happened?
Because there's definitely a different reality for them.
Yeah.
And then a totally different one for you, you know. But it's,
before we go, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the tweet. I don't know if you saw it. I'm sure you did, because I think everyone saw it. It was a tweet that a girl put up about friendship, being like, if you are about to text someone and have a rant, to get on to, or emotionally unload, she basically put forward that she thinks that you should get on to your friend and say, hey, have you got the mental capacity for this at the moment, because I'm really struggling and I need someone to talk to about this.
Oh yeah,
do you remember this?
That. Yeah.
So there was a rake of like articles. I'm going to try and find the tweet actually.
Yeah.
So the text or the tweet was from Melissa A. Fabello, PhD, which I think is important. She has a PhD, on Twitter. And she says, I want to chat briefly about this text that I received from a friend last week. And the text message says, do you have the emotional/mental capacity for me to vent about something medical weight related for a few minutes? And she basically says, the person who sent this text is a very good friend of mine. We have the kind of relationship wherein, yes, of course, I would make time for her and her needs, as I know she would for me. That is to say, she's the kind of person who doesn't have to ask for permission for my time. What I mean by that is that I have an inner circle of people in my life who I expect to be available for and who I expect to be available to me, who are built into my capacity. But here is why the text was really, really important. One, it acknowledges that I have limited time and emotional availability. Two, it asks permission to vent rather than unloading without warning. And three, it notes the content of the conversation which could be triggering for me. Four, it gives me a clear sense of expectation for the conversation. And five, it gives me the opportunity to say yes, no, or to counter offer, i.e., I'm busy right now, but I'll call you later tonight if that works. So I wanted to talk to you about this. Mm-hmm. I have opinions. Mm-hmm. I want to know what your opinions are. What are your main feels? And I'll be completely honest about mine.
I don't think I'd ever get a text like that.
I don't think I would either. No.
To be honest. I think it says a lot more about Melissa. And then it does the other person. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, imagine if you had something that you wanted to vent about and you had to actually just pre-warn the person first. That's fucking mental. Yeah. I would just abuse my friends with countless amounts of messages and then say, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Like, and just wait for them straight to reply. In. Yeah.
So, okay, right. So I pride myself on being a good friend, right? Mm-hmm. And I know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that any of my friends know that they can come to me mm-hmm. at any time, day, night. If they ring me at 4 o'clock in the morning and say I need you to come collect me from town, I will drive the hour to town mm-hmm. and I will collect, you know, like there is, I know my friends know that there's not a single thing I wouldn't do for them.
Yeah.
When I read that though, in my head, okay, granted, she does get a bit deep into it and she goes on a bit more and she, you know, gives people like an option for how to write back to a message like that. Like, she does get very much deep into it. But what I generally feel about that is, I think maybe 5 years ago, if my friend had have got on to me, if any friend of mine had got on to me and been like, rant, or, you know, emotionally unloaded, anything they needed to unload, I'd be like, oh my God, absolutely, I'm so sorry that's happening to you, or whatever. And mm-hmm. I would have been straight in, there, ready, etc. I would still be the exact same now.
Mm-hmm.
But there are days, I have to admit, there are days where I have so much of my own emotional yeah. stuff going on. Like, you know, I've now got increased financial worries because I have a mortgage now. I've got worries about, you know, just everything. My career, yeah. my relationships, my dog, you know, mm-hmm. my own health, my whatever it is. You've got so many personal things to be thinking about that there are some days where I genuinely feel I am actually at capacity today.
Yeah.
In terms of the emotional force that I can accept.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was to get a big long message from a friend being like this, and this, whether it's really serious or whether it's kind of serious as in I've just found out I have whatever health condition and I'm really worried, or if it's something like, some guy isn't texting me back. Mm-hmm. What do you think I should do? Rant. That, you know, either way, there's days where I actually don't have the mental capacity
yeah.
to get back.
Yeah.
That's not to say that I don't. I always will.
Yeah.
There has never been a time where I've been like, I don't have the capacity to deal with this right now. Can I give you a call later?
Yeah.
Ever. But I do appreciate where she's coming from. As in, I get that. You know, okay, I'm sure her mate sounds absolutely terrified of her. Mm-hmm. By all accounts, mm-hmm. I agree. That text message. Yeah, yeah. Like, I wonder how Melissa speaks to her friends on a day-to-day basis if her friend thought that she should send yeah. a text. But in theory, I kind of understand, as in, I think it's quite respectful for someone to say in advance of a big mental offload.
Yeah.
Have you got the headspace for this today, or am I just giving you more shit to deal with?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I've definitely gotten texts from my friend being like, I'm about to vent here. Yeah. And then I'll get a thing.
Yeah.
But normally it's really frivolous yeah. stuff. Yeah. And so, you know, a bit of it's a lull. And, you
yeah,
know,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know. But if it's something more serious, you know, like I would never not get back. I would never, ever do that. But there have been times where I would kind of have appreciated, like, you know,
yeah.
you kind of go, actually, I would love to, for someone to have said, look, I'm about to have a complete mental offload on you. Have you got the headspace for this? Because there's times when you just don't.
Yeah. But I would also think, if you think you're going to have to send your friend that message,
yeah,
right? First of all, you think that, right, they might be under a lot of stress.
Yeah.
So it's not going to go down well.
Yeah.
Or the second option might be you're just sending it because she's got a PhD and she's made up herself, right?
Yeah.
But like, if you're kind of thinking that,
yeah,
maybe your option should be to talk to someone else. Because yes, maybe
okay,
what
yeah,
you're about to get isn't going to be good for you. So say, for example, yeah, right, I could get a message and it's a huge long vent and it's yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I might not have the time or, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I would still take the time to sit down and write back. Because if you are so annoyed by this thing and you need to vent,
yeah,
the absolute worst thing that could happen to you is be shut down by the person you
completely
thought,
agree,
I can actually say this to them.
Yeah, I completely
so
agree.
I would always be like, talk away, whatever.
Go.
The
yeah,
only time it would annoy me is if I was like, I don't think you would take the time out to do the same for me.
Yeah.
That is when I would yeah, be a bit like,
yeah, 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 yeah. Totally.
You should have given me a warning yeah, here.
I mean, you know, in fairness, that's the thing. Like, there would never be an instance where I'd get a rant from a friend and be like, I'm not going to answer that ever.
Yeah.
I would always.
Yeah.
And I would do it not begrudgingly. I would willingly, happily,
yeah,
no matter what mental state I'm in, I would willingly, happily, and do anything I could to support them.
Mm-hmm.
I would drop anything to support my friends. But what I mean, like, when I saw that, and everyone was absolutely ripping this girl to pieces, like,
ripping Melissa.
Yeah. Everyone
were
was,
they?
Yeah. Everyone was like,
deserved.
No, hon. No, like, yeah. And everyone was ripping her. And I was thinking, yes, it's deserved. Yes, she goes into feckin' all sorts of
mm-hmm,
mumbo jumbo and gives people like a framework for how you should text your friends. And I do think that is complete
bullshit.
Total nonsense. But I see the principle of it, as in I understand the concept that's, you know, a lot of people have a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And for you to just assume that they've got a blank slate that day and that your thing is going to be the thing that, you know, like,
yeah,
as in, imagine feeling like you're at 99% capacity of the shit you have to deal with, and then your mate giving you all this extra stuff.
Yeah, but then at the same time, you know, at the flip side, you know, you never know what is going to push someone over the edge.
Yeah.
And that's what friends are there for. Like,
totally.
This whole, like, mental health movement at the moment, you know, we want people to talk.
Yeah.
And, like, if it's your best friend, they should be able to talk to you.
100%,
and, yeah, I mean, what it has put you at a full mental capacity could be absolute shite, and in a week you won't give a shit about, because
yeah,
you're just stressed off your nut over something insanely yeah, stupid,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and this could be a really big thing for your friend.
Yeah.
So
I suppose it does actually depend, in that instance it does depend on the context of the message,
yeah,
doesn't it, or the
yeah,
context of the rant, as in, if your thing that you're up to 90 about is, you know, that one of your parents is unwell,
mm-hmm,
and the thing that your friend is offloading about is the fact that her Tinder app is broken.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Stupid.
Get yeah, away from me.
Yeah.
Stop. Get off my phone now.
But if you're up
but
to
if it's
90,
the other way around.
Yeah. Like,
yes,
if it's because
yeah, yeah, yeah,
you're stressed because you can't find the present that you wanted for someone for Christmas and
yeah,
it's on sale,
yeah, yeah,
and you're like, don't talk
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, there's,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it depends.
Or I didn't get
on
tickets
the
for this concert. I'm so annoyed.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Shut up.
But I mean, I think your one just seems,
she's a mad bitch.
Yeah. And like, for her to be then going on telling people this
how
is the
to
structure
respond
of
yeah,
how you should text friends. Well, like, you should maybe like look
and
at
she,
yourself first, Melissa, because
she also does this whole thing about emotional labor.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, like which I don't agree. I don't oh, agree with it at all. But just there was a part of me, maybe it caught me on a down day, but there was a part of me that went, yeah, actually, do you know what? Sometimes when a friend rings you to have a big rant, they should kind of go, have you a few minutes to talk? Are you okay? You know
yeah,
what I mean? And
yeah,
like, give you the benefit of, and I would
yeah,
always do that as well. I don't think I've ever, like, anytime I ring a friend or a
mm-hmm,
WhatsApp friend to have a rant, maybe not on a, if I WhatsApp them a voice note or something, they can listen to it at their leisure. So I don't
yeah,
apologize.
And
then,
you don't intend on it being 15 minutes long. It just happened.
Just accidentally happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. Been there. But when you ring someone, I would always say at the start, have you a few minutes to talk? I'm like,
mm-hmm,
or are you up to your eyeballs? And if
yeah,
that gives them an out, then that gives them a chance to say, do you know what, I'll give you a buzz back in 15 minutes, or can I call you after work or whatever. Obviously, if it's something mega serious and you just launch straight in, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree with that. But, you know, there was just, it was interesting because the vast majority of people were completely ripping it out of this girl and deserved.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nuance to it, I thought. Like, I thought people maybe were too quick to rip the piss and not think of the occasions where actually a text like that might really help someone.
It kind of is like the whole when people are like, oh, I'm so busy, and it's like, stop trying to make that a thing.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not necessarily a positive to be so busy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So it kind of, in a way, I can see how it's her kind of maybe realizing,
yeah,
you know, maybe we should chill and whatever, but it just kind of seems like that's more on her.
On her, yeah. Than, I think it's a reflection of Melissa.
Yeah. But it would probably hit home with some people who maybe are very like Melissa. Maybe we are just more like the friend.
Yeah.
You know?
Who's obviously shitting on Melissa
in the corner.
Help! I think I want to break up with Melissa as a friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, we have rambled on for a solid hour there.
Oh my god.
And I think we've only scratched the surface.
Yeah.
It's lucky. I'm definitely gonna do more friendship based episodes, because they are, you know, when we talk about sex and relationships, sure, you don't generally have sex with your mates, but you do have relationships with them, and they can be very important. They can be life changing, they can be grief causing, they can be, you know, as serious as any romantic relationship, if not more so in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely worthy of talking about. Orla, thank you for chatting so friendship with me. And as I mentioned midway through, if you're not already subscribed to Orla's podcast, which is called Adulting with Friends, you can subscribe on iTunes, or you can follow on Spotify or all those places. And it's fantastic. So far, you've had Paddy Smith, you've had Karen Lovely Girly Bits,
Mark Rogers,
and you have had
Simone Gannon.
Simone. Mm-hmm. I love Simone's episode. Yeah. I love Simone. So yeah, 4 deadly episodes so far, lots to come, including one with me.
Woo!
So if you want to know all about that shy 17-year-old that I was talking about there, subscribe, and my episode will be coming up soon. So thanks again, Orla.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Cassie. Scout, love you. Love you forever. Scout is Cassie's dog, just in case anyone's wondering. And until next week, talk to you soon. Stay safe. Bye.
Bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.